Guy Benson Show will be back in 1 minute. Benson will be on in 30 seconds.
Conventional talk from a fresh, unconventional conservative, The Guy Benson Show.
It's Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020. I'm Guy Benson. Welcome to the show. My show, The Guy Benson Show. Really happy that you're here. We are young, we are hungry, we are growing. And we are just delighted that you're a part of it and that you're helping us grow. Thank you. GuyBensonShow.com is the website for the program. If you don't know much about me, if you're new, then welcome in. I am the political editor at TownHall.com, also a Fox News contributor. I was on Outnumbered Overtime earlier today on Harris Faulkner's show. I'll be co-hosting Outnumbered on Friday, noon Eastern, on Fox News Channel. You want to make a note of that. But the radio website for this show is GuyBensonShow.com. You can listen live there. We have fantastic affiliates. We have a few more coming on board soon, so stay tuned for that. Also, the podcast is a hit, a popular option for those who can't listen to all of the show live. You can access that at GuyBensonShow.com. You can download episodes or interviews. You can subscribe. It is free. All of it's free, which is just awesome. We also have partners, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify. So lots of ways to listen to the program live or on delay. And we're very excited to have those options and present them to all of you. Let me tell you about the show today. We'll be joined by a China expert in just a moment. Then later in the show, U.S. Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming, a member of leadership, he's going to be here. Congressman Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, a Republican, he will also be my guest. I heard that he and his wife just had a baby, so we will ask him about that transition. Then also, like, you know, real news and stuff. But I think that's a pretty big event in the congressman's life, and he's a regular here. So I'm eager to congratulate him and then hear about how fatherhood's going. And whether sleep is happening. And then I mentioned my role at TownHall.com. One of my colleagues at Town Hall, who's also a very familiar face at Fox News, is Katie Pavlich. She had an opportunity for Town Hall to interview President Trump last week. She will join me in our final hour to talk about that conversation she had with President Trump at the White House and also apply some of the topics that she asked Trump about, particularly involving the police, law enforcement, violence in the streets of American cities, to the current news cycle. Fox News alert as we get going. We are awaiting comment from the President of the United States to give us an update on the expansion of Operation Legend, which goes to this matter of the federal government and federal law enforcement officers coming to the assistance of local and state police in some of these places where violence is really spiking and getting out of control. Some of it has to do with riots in places like Portland. I'll have more to say about that later. Some of it has to do with gang and drug-related gun violence in a place like Chicago, where it looks like finally the mayor of that city is relenting just a little bit and recognizing perhaps some help is in order, as more than a dozen people were shot in a single incident at a funeral just yesterday. So we will keep an eye on the White House. The president is expected to speak within the hour. We may dip into some of that live. We'll also bring you the stats on coronavirus, as we do every day, the updates. Here in the United States, confirmed cases, 3,882,167. The death toll in this country from COVID is 141,677. The Dow is roughly flat so far today, up ever so slightly, up 99 points at this hour. And as always, we'll bring you an update in the next hour on how things close. And as I said, we are keeping an eye on our monitor to see when the president will come out and make some comments at the White House involving law enforcement in American cities. John Roberts has been covering that for the news channel. And as it becomes necessary, perhaps we will listen in. But for now, I'm very pleased to welcome back to the show Gordon Chang, who is author of the book, The Coming Collapse of China. His Twitter feed is at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, good to have you here.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Guy.
I want to start with a development in the state of Texas yesterday that is garnering quite a lot of attention. It seems pretty significant. The U.S. government has ordered China to close its diplomatic consulate in the city of Houston by the end of this week, citing what the government says is a nationwide pattern of espionage and attempted theft of research by the Chinese military, aided by diplomats. They're starting, it looks like, in Houston. Apparently, they were burning documents at the consulate that the Chinese officials were, I guess, trying to destroy evidence before they leave town. Your reaction to this move from the U.S. government and this diplomatic consulate in Houston, and where do you think we go from here? If this is nationwide, is this the first of a pattern, do you think?
Yeah, this is extremely significant. Something like this would have been unthinkable a year ago, certainly would have been unthinkable in previous administrations, but it's absolutely necessary. The State Department talked about protecting U.S. intellectual property and the information of Americans. Got to remember that we have been talking to the Chinese for decades about this. In September 2015, we had Chinese leader Xi Jinping and President Obama in the Rose Garden. They announced the promise that neither country would hack the other for commercial purposes. Well, China ignored that. We had the Section 301 tariffs imposed by President Trump as a remedy for the theft of intellectual property. That didn't help either. So clearly we had to do something to catch China's attention. China will retaliate. They'll probably close either the Chengdu or the Wuhan consulate of ours in China. But, we're pushed to this. We have to do something.
The Wuhan one would be quite appropriate, don't you think?
Well, yes. It actually has been vacant for quite some time, but it's an important one, as are all the U.S. consulates in China. But we are going to lose one or more consulates. And China could very well turn around and close two of ours. But at some point, the United States had to defend itself. And so I'm glad that we are now starting to take measures that are actually going to be effective.
It also looks like there's quite a lot of investigations underway, and we've seen some action in terms of arrests when it comes to espionage at American colleges and universities as well, with professors with ties to China getting rounded up, not because it's any sort of xenophobic thing, it's because they've been under investigation and maybe aiding the Communist Party of China while taking advantage of their academic position here in the United States. Talk about that story, which seems, again, also, to use your term, very significant, but perhaps, in my view, underreported.
Yes. Well, the FBI has about 2,500 counter-espionage cases involving China. That's about half of America's total cases. And many of these are on college campuses. We've had a number of prominent academics who have been taking money from China and not reporting it, as is required by federal law. The most prominent case is the former head of the chemistry department at Harvard, Charles Lieber, who apparently had a relationship with the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is the P4 biosafety lab in the city of Wuhan that is suspected by some as being the source of the coronavirus disease. at this point, Lieber has protested his innocence. But the point is that the United States is looking at this seriously, because if you go back a couple of administrations, people were not paying attention to Chinese espionage. This administration, fortunately, is.
Given the fact that you see this consulate getting closed as a retaliation for Chinese espionage efforts, and you predict then a retaliation in turn from the Chinese, and then maybe, who knows, they keep going, we escalate, there's another consulate or two that gets shut down. I've seen some commentary, people saying this looks kind of like a slow motion movement toward a new Cold War between the West, and the United States in particular, and a foreign communist power. Is that overstating things, understating things? Too early to say. What's your view on that?
I think that we've been involved in a Cold War with China for decades. We Americans have been oblivious, but the Chinese have been waging it. And it's only in recent years have Americans waken up and started to think about the fundamental nature of China's challenge to the United States. So, yes, there is a Cold War, but it's not new.
You know, it's interesting, Gordon, because here we are talking about the shuttering, the ordered shuttering of a Chinese consulate in Texas, with the State Department coming in and saying, all right, you've got to get out. You've been spying on us and stealing, in this case, scientific research is the allegation. We haven't even touched on the Hong Kong crackdown and the illegal abrogation of treaty obligations there, the, you know, two countries or one country, two systems promise that has been just shattered. We haven't talked about the Uyghurs in Xinjiang province. We've only barely touched on coronavirus and the cover-up and the lies there. I mean, right now the rap sheet on China is thick and getting thicker in the United States. And we haven't spoken on this program, the two of us, since the news broke last week about the UK coming around on Huawei and their 5G network. I was traveling with the National Security Advisor in Paris when that news broke, and he was very, very gratified by that development. It's been something that he and the Trump administration have been pushing for now for months. Your reaction, not just to Huawei, but do you think that's a broader indication that maybe it's not going to only be the United States standing up to China, and maybe other countries and some of our allies are getting more serious as events unfold?
We have seen this year, Guy, a change of opinion on China, not just in the United States, but around the world. And I think there are two things that have crystallized it. First of all, there is the deliberate spread of the coronavirus beyond China's borders. China took actions that would inevitably lead to this disease, jumping from central China all around the world, so it's become a global pandemic. But also, you mentioned Hong Kong, and I think that that has grabbed people's attention. And one other thing that occurred two, 3 days ago, and that is the drone footage of Uyghurs shaved with their hands bound behind their back, blindfolded, being led off of cattle cars. And that, I think, you know, just crystallizes thought about China and made the inevitable comparisons to 80 years ago in the Third Reich. So it is not just the United States. It is other countries. Other countries are not moving as fast as we are in terms of this, but they're getting there. And as China continues to engage in acts which are just considered abhorrent, countries will have no choice but to follow our lead.
Gordon Chang, I think that you mentioned the aerial footage, the drone footage of the Uyghurs being mistreated. I played some audio yesterday on the show of a BBC interview where the host was really pressing the Chinese ambassador to London on the question, and his answers were completely underwhelming, if not obviously dishonest. And I think that we need more of that from foreign journalists. Last two questions. They're disparate, but, of course, both related to China. First, on the question of Chinese apps like TikTok, do you think that the U.S. government should ban TikTok in the United States? And then secondly, very different question, the incursion by Chinese troops into Indian territory and some of the casualties there, what's the significance of that skirmish?
Yeah, the significance of China's incursions, and there are more and more of them, it really changes the dynamic in India, because India banned TikTok and 58 other Chinese apps. Chinese contractors are going to lose contracts. There is a boycott Chinese goods movement among the Indian population, which seems to be quite strong. And Huawei Technologies is going to be banned from Indian 5G networks. So I think that what we are witnessing in India is something that we are going to do the same thing, because TikTok should not be in the United States for a number of reasons. First of all, TikTok surveils users, but also there's a broader issue of reciprocity. We can't have Chinese American apps in China, so why should China have their apps in our country? Hmm. And I think eventually we're going to see TikTok taken over by a U.S. company, largely because its presence here as a Chinese company is untenable.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, we have folks connected to the National Basketball Association in America still absolutely steadfastly unwilling to say one peep about China's massive abuses. And I think the dollar is a very strong motivator in that case. And other American companies like Nike just bending the knee to China while preening as woke here at home. I think it's a very frustrating thing to watch. And I know you were talking about that recently with Tucker Carlson. We are following all of those issues here on The Guy Benson Show. My guest to kick off today's program has been Gordon Chang. His book, The Coming Collapse of China, his Twitter feed, Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, thank you.
Thank you so much, Guy.
We'll take a break, just getting started on this Wednesday edition of The Guy Benson Show.
Energetic, informed, fast-paced, Guy Benson Show. In small business, competition can be brutal. Over 90% of your potential customers read online reviews before buying. If your company's online reputation doesn't reflect how your customers feel about your business, then your competitor is getting the sale. If you're going to win the battle, you have to manage your company's online reputation. Reviews911.net wants to offer you a free trial of our online reviews management platform that you can have up and running in about 5 minutes. You'll learn how to replace bad reviews with good ones and how current reviews can make you show up at the top of local search results. Improve your customers' brand experience and get more reviews on the sites that matter most, like Google, Yelp, Facebook, and all the rest, so that new customers will find you first. Win the small business slugfest when you text WIN to 411-411. Reviews911.net. Text the word WIN to 411-411 to get your free trial today. Text WIN to 411-411. Text WIN to 411-411.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. Plus, when you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. That's not all. Hear your favorite podcasts from Dana Perino, Bill Hemmer, Martha McCallum, Brett Baer, and many more. Just hit schedule, set your alarm, and click listen. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today. America's listening to Fox News. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
One of the forgotten players in the Watergate scandal that brought down the Nixon administration was Democrat Speaker of the House Carl Albert of Oklahoma. Standing only 5'4", he was known as the Little Giant from Little Dixie. In 1992, Albert recalled meeting future presidents Nixon and Kennedy on his first day of Congress.
Nixon walked across from the Republican side of the aisle and shook hands with me and asked me if he had a college contest similar to the high school, and I won that one. And he asked me if I was the one who won that contest, and I said yes. He said, well, he tried out for it later on, but he didn't get that far. John Kennedy came over to me and introduced himself, and he said, are you the Oklahoma boy that was a Rhodes Scholar? I said yes. He said, well, I met several Rhodes Scholars. So I met them both the first day.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. Bonus Track with Laura Ingle.
Taking you deep inside the music. What does Jethro Tull and a bottle of hand sanitizer have in common?
Standing on the park bench.
A perfect way to clean your hands if you touch that park bench. The British band has now launched a charity hand sanitizer, which is helping to raise money in the USA for the Helping the Heroes charity. Approved by Ian Anderson himself, proceeds from sales will help small businesses, first responders, healthcare workers, and others in need through a number of charities, including the nonprofit campaign Helping the Heroes. The sanitizer began shipping on July 20th. Bottles cost $9, with a four-bottle pack costing $32, which sounds way better than those crazy high markups of hand sanitizers that we've seen these last few months. Plus, this one has a dose of rock and roll. Laura Ingle, Fox News.
Brian has traveled the country, discovering what made America great.
We have a special surprise waiting.
Now, take an exclusive tour of our nation's most famous home.
You are about to get a tour and a history lesson like you never thought possible.
With an exclusive interview with President Trump.
But is there something special about this?
To me, it's one of the most beautiful pieces of architecture. It's a great building.
Brand new episodes of What Made America Great. And catch up on Brian's previous trips, only on Fox Nation.
I'm Guy Benson, back on the show today. We are waiting for the president. He's scheduled to speak this hour from the East Room of the White House on combating crime. We will tackle that issue coming up in the next segment, and maybe we'll jump over and take the president, at least a bit of his remarks, live. Meanwhile, I just want to mention, as a follow-up to my very last comment that I made with Gordon Chang about China, when I talked about the NBA and Nike, I make no bones about the fact that I'm a huge fan of the show Shark Tank. I watch it all the time. I think it's fantastic. And one of the sharks who's very prominent is Mark Cuban, who I think is an interesting and smart guy. And sometimes unpredictable. He's not always ideologically aligned one way or the other. He's sort of fascinating in a lot of ways. He's been hugely successful. He's one of the sharks on the show. He's also the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, the NBA franchise. And he was in a bit of a Twitter spat with Senator Ted Cruz over China and Black Lives Matter and other issues. And Cruz kept challenging Cuban to stand up to China, say something about human rights in China, Hong Kong, the Uyghurs, you name it. And as they went back and forth, it was actually pretty remarkable. Cuban would not go there. He just wouldn't. And I think he knows exactly what would happen. There was a huge issue months ago when a Houston Rockets official, so another team in the NBA, their general manager, had tweeted something in favor of freedom in Hong Kong. It was extremely mild and innocuous and obvious. It's something that Americans should agree on. And the backlash that came down on that guy's head from the NBA was swift and overwhelming from some of the biggest stars in the league, some of the big coaches who all they're wokesters. They're all about human rights and all of these things, but not in China, because there's a huge amount of money to be made in China, and we don't want to upset the Chinese government. So Mark Cuban steadfastly wouldn't say a word. And I mentioned Nike. I think they've been one of the worst corporate actors on all of this. They pulled their Houston Rockets gear from their Chinese stores, Nike did, basically in solidarity with China over Hong Kong. Meanwhile, at home, they're shoveling money out the door to Colin Kaepernick and let him veto shoes that are too pro-America. I mean, I am not a boycott type of person, but that's not the type of company I want to do business with. We will turn to crime in our cities and President Trump right after this. It's the Guy Benson Show.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, Getting Schooled with Abby Hornacek.
What is the biggest challenge you and your department face when it comes to national parks?
Ensuring that our facilities are accessible and that America's story is told, and also that people have an opportunity to come to the public square and tell their own story. But we do want people to do that in a way that is not destructive to these places.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Class dismissed. This is House Call for Health. The longer the pandemic goes on, the greater likelihood of mental health issues. Fox News spoke with Becca Raley with the Partnership for Better Health.
There are several issues. One is keeping people who have had mental health issues connected to their service providers, whether that's virtually or safely in person. And two is all the new stressors of whether it be unemployment, whether it be folks who are overworked because they're essential workers, the depression and grief that happens from loss of a loved one.
Raley says it's important to know when to reach out for help.
For someone who's having more serious concerns at risk of potentially harming themselves, extreme depression, difficulty getting up and going through a normal day, it's time to reach out to a doctor, an emergency center, call 911.
For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
There's never been a more critical time. Fox News Media is bringing America together. America is watching news and fearless debate on Fox News Channel. We're invested in you from Wall Street to Main Street to your street with Fox Business. America is listening wherever you are, on radio and podcasts, trending the stories you need anytime you want online. And Fox Nation, streaming the entertainment that celebrates America. Fox News Media, America's news, and much more.
This is Fox on Justice. There's no shortage of debate about policing, but attempts to find common ground have been elusive. For many activists, the issue is black and white. There must be an end to police brutality directed at people of color. Minnesota State Senator Jeff Hayden.
George Floyd was murdered 8 blocks from where I live, and that could have easily been me. This has been a reality for too many black people for too long.
But others see the police themselves as the victims. New York City Police Chief Terrence Monahan.
These are the same great cops who everyone was applauding during the height of COVID.
Protests since the George Floyd killing are mainly peaceful, but the violent ones have sparked demands for law and order from the White House and elsewhere. With shootings on the rise in many cities, there are demands to uncuff the cops and let them do their jobs. Michael LaPetri is chief of crime control strategies for the NYPD.
We have the knowledge to stop shootings. It's unfortunate that most of our powers were taken away.
With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Jesse Ed Davis, one of the few successful Native American rock artists, was well known as a session guitarist who recorded solo albums, as well as working with a who's who of major artists in the 1970s and 80s. In a 1972 interview, Jesse discussed recording albums in the heyday of AM radio's programming demands.
To have to consider the fact that you're making a commercial product, have to consider the fact that you have to fit in line with the company's image, you have to consider the fact that you have to try and get your record played on AM radio, is almost incredible limitation on a person's music. And I really find it very degrading, personally. Do you bend to the way they want you to play, or do you be true to your music, your art? You know, it's so rough.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
saving you money. I'm Linda Bell with the Fox Business Network. If you're receiving unemployment, the $600 a week enhanced benefits funded by the federal government expire at the end of July. Sarah Foster, economy analyst at Bankrate.com, says prepare for the drop in income by cutting your discretionary spending.
You'll be able to free up some money that you can put into your savings account to prepare for this reality.
She says you may want to consider getting a balance transfer credit card. And if you're having trouble paying your bills, think about reaching out to your creditors.
You can't just stop paying that bill, but once you reach out, you can probably negotiate something for you, for yourself.
Foster says if a high interest loan is your only choice, you may want to tap into your retirement. Withholding taxes from your unemployment insurance can also help you save money.
If you withhold those taxes up front, when that $600 benefit expires, and if you can't find a job and you're more strapped for cash, that can help you avoid that sticker shock.
Saving you money, I'm Linda Bell, Fox News.
GuyBensonShow.com.
We are back. I'm Guy Benson. So if you've been following this for any period of time, you are already aware that Portland, Oregon has been just a disaster for almost two consecutive months. They have been, for more than 50 straight nights, there have been violent protests, riots, and forms of upheaval. I think it's like 52, 53 consecutive nights as of last night. Also, they've had rioting pretty frequently now for years. It's like a feature in that city. And recently, it's gotten even more out of control. The federal government has intervened with federal law enforcement officers, partially because there have been attacks against a federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon. And the videos are quite striking. Just from last night, so we've had Andy Ngo on the program. He's someone who tracks Antifa. They've beaten him badly and sent him to the hospital. They do that. I guess he's now wearing disguises and he's covering what they're up to. So out in Portland, just last night alone, they were barricading this courthouse, just graffiti everywhere, trying to trap officers inside the courthouse, also trying to smash it up and then set it on fire. The Department of Homeland Security put out a very long list a few days ago of all the acts of destruction from these quote-unquote protesters over the last 2 months. And it goes on and on. And it's everything from relatively harmless stuff like graffiti, relatively, all the way up to firebombing and physical assaults. These Antifa people dress like kind of paramilitary members in some cases. And they've laid siege to this federal building. And this is ginning up a lot of outrage, not at the violent mob, but at the federal government for doing anything about it. So I want to play for you. This is cut one. This is Congressman Earl Blumenauer of Oregon, a left-wing Democrat, saying, oh, everything's fine here. Nothing to see. Let's move on. The real problem is the federal government. Cut one.
Portland, Oregon is not out of control. To be sure, there are some people who have strong feelings, and there are some who have done things that are inappropriate and unlawful. But that is the challenge of our local officials and our state officials to manage it. Not having somebody unwelcome, uninvited, and unprepared coming in to take this difficult situation and make it worse.
Oh, it's not out of control. Just violent riots for two straight months. That's all. So, yeah, some people have some strong feelings, he said. Some unlawful acts. It's constant. It's every night. And he says, well, the federal government's uninvited, unwelcome. Well, guess what? They don't need to be invited or welcomed to defend federal property and enforce the law. This is not the military. This is federal law enforcement. They operate in American cities all the time. Andy McCarthy has written about this. He was on TV. I was doing Outnumbered Overtime earlier. I had two segments, and in between was Andy McCarthy talking about this. We had him on the show yesterday here. Now, I will concede some of the videos that I've seen have disturbed me. There's one where it looks like there is a guy who's maybe part of the mob, but he's just standing there peacefully talking to the officers, and they beat him and they pepper spray him. There are these unmarked vans that zoom up and they throw people in there, and it looks a little creepy. But I think if you dig beneath the surface, it's less creepy than meets the eye. I don't think that there should be excessive force. I don't think the federal government should be necessarily, you know, patrolling the streets, arresting people willy-nilly. You need to make sure that people's rights are being upheld and they are Mirandized and know why they've been arrested and so on and so forth. But it is 100% within the rights of the federal government to protect their assets and their buildings and their people, especially in the face of local, quote-unquote, leadership that cannot or will not do it. Nancy Pelosi is calling these federal law enforcement officers stormtroopers, kidnapping people. I mean, this is extremely overheated rhetoric, and you never hear the overheated rhetoric from Democrats like Nancy Pelosi going after the rioters who are setting buildings on fire. They weren't just trying to set a federal courthouse on fire. They were also ransacking businesses last night, which is what they do, and looting. Some of the videos from Andy Ngo, who I mentioned earlier, show these rioters, these agitators, these Antifa people, racing up, actually pushing the federal officers back into retreat and then cheering. I would play you some audio, but it's just filled with F-bombs. And we might even miss a bleep, so we're not going to try. These are the absolute dregs of society. These people are trash. Not peaceful protesters, Antifa, and what they're doing. They push them back and they try to barricade the cops in there. There's a photographer who's like a freelance guy who has been accused of being a collaborator or communicating with local police. So Antifa put a bounty on him on social media. Apparently Antifa black bloc militants found him, and Andy Ngo has the video of them beating the tar out of this guy in the middle of the street. Oh, we're very worried about the civil liberties of the Antifa people who are being arrested as they try to burn down a federal building, but here they are savagely beating a freelance photographer in the middle of the street because he's documenting their crimes. And just not a peep. Not a peep about that. Not one word, it seems, from a lot of these leading Democrats in Oregon and elsewhere. Nancy Pelosi, I don't think we've heard about that, or the attempted arson or the firebombing, none of that. No, it's Trump and his shock troops or whatever. Strong feelings, says that congressman from Oregon. It's not out of control in Portland. I will tell that to the guy getting beaten to a pulp by Antifa in the middle of the street. So Joe Biden weighed in on this. He wants to be president. Byron York reported this yesterday. On Tuesday, Joe Biden accused federal law enforcement of brutally attacking peaceful protesters without a clearly defined mandate or authority. Well, they do have the authority to protect federal property, period. And while there was that one image that I told you about of someone getting pepper sprayed, and I think there was excessive force, and while I think there should be questions, okay, which tactics are appropriate, there should be a narrow scope, I think, of what the federal law enforcement officers are able to do in places like Portland. To pretend like this is just a bunch of unprovoked attacks, brutal attacks on peaceful protesters, that is absolute BS. This is not peaceful protesting. In fact, conflating this and pretending that this is peaceful protesting is actually an insult to the millions of people who do exercise their First Amendment right to peaceably assemble and lobby the government and express their disapproval or their desire for change or reform. There are a lot of people who peacefully raise their voices in favor of police reform after the murder of George Floyd. And I was one of them. To compare any of them or us to these thugs is outrageous. And maybe Joe Biden could get really grilled on this and asked follow-up questions and give some more thoughts if he were actually subjecting himself to any tough interviews, like Chris Wallace, who just grilled President Trump for an hour. Instead, he just sort of puts out these pre-approved statements written by someone else, occasionally comes to a microphone or a teleprompter. He's got notes that he's got written down. You can see he looks down when he does these little interviews with bloggers and stuff. He looks down to make sure he's got his talking points right. And one of the talking points is about peaceful protesters in Portland. And yet you look at the actual videos of what's happening, and it is in no way, shape, or form peaceful. Jonathan Turley, let me just say one more thing. I am not for excessive force. I think, and let me reiterate, the mission of federal officers in a place like Portland, given what's happening, should be limited in scope and defined. I agree with that. But the problem here is not Donald Trump. It is not the Department of Homeland Security. It is the rioters and the anarchists and the Antifa army and their violence. And, by the way, the local officials and gutless, worthless politicians who aren't doing a damn thing about it. Then they say, oh, well, now the feds are defending their own building, and that's provocative. It's making things worse, they say. The feds need to get out because it's making it worse. It's like they're letting Antifa call the shots. Oh, if someone's actually going to oppose us and try to restore some order, we're going to go crazy and get more violent. And rather than saying, hey, go to hell, we're a nation of laws, this is not acceptable in Portland, Oregon, they're saying, ooh, so feds need to leave. Jonathan Turley is a heterodox, interesting, left-leaning law professor, George Washington University. He tweeted yesterday, federal enforcement is not by invitation only. The use of federal agents to protect federal property or enforce federal law does not depend on local permission. There may be legitimate questions on how that authority is used, but not the right to use that authority. He wrote a blog post about it today. The federal government has full authority to protect federal buildings and to carry out arrests for federal crimes in any American city. Andy McCarthy, who I mentioned before, writes this at FoxNews.com. In Portland, federal agents are faithfully executing our nation's laws. This is not about the military being deployed in American streets. Quote, law enforcement is a completely different matter. Enforcing federal law is an independent obligation of the chief executive. Consequently, the president and the Justice Department never have to wait for a state to ask for federal intervention. Rich Lowry at National Review goes through some of the quotes from leading Democrats tearing into the Trump administration in the federal response. If only they could muster and summon just a fraction of that outrage against the members, I guess, of their own base that are lighting things on fire and ruining businesses and assaulting people in the streets. No, everything has to always be about Trump. They can't waste any breath on the actual literal criminals that have been in the streets wreaking havoc for almost two straight months in a major American city. Rich Lowry writes, protesters have smashed the glass doors of a federal courthouse, covered its exterior in graffiti, and repeatedly attempted to light it on fire. This has been happening at the courthouse specifically since at least early July. He writes, this isn't hard. It's the people attacking federal property who bear moral responsibility for what's happening in Portland. That should be obvious, but that's not how it's being treated by local officials. People are concerned. They're saying, well, not all the officers, these federal officers, are wearing badges with their names on them. There are unmarked cars. Rich writes, these are both unquestionably legal tactics. In fact, we know that Antifa has tried to identify and dox and punish and harass law enforcement officials whose names have been on their uniforms. Undercover tactics are allowed from law enforcement. This is not stormtroopers or kidnappers or Trump's troops is one way I've heard them referred to. They're not even troops. They're federal law enforcement. And sometimes they dress kind of in military outfits. I don't know why they need to be wearing fatigues. Right? I think there are some legitimate questions and criticisms of some of the things that are happening and how. Some of the tactics, fine, let's have that conversation. But it is extraordinary to see how all of the focus seems to be on how terrible the federal government is for defending its building, its own property, its own assets, and precious little about the gangs. These are basically street gangs. And the mayor of Portland, this guy Wheeler, what a waste of space. So this has been an extreme situation in Portland now for days and weeks on end. I am not here to defend every action that we've seen on videotape from the feds. I like to be intellectually honest. I'm not always just a flag-waving, knee-jerk supporter of law enforcement. I'm not. I have a strong libertarian streak. I understand when I see Rand Paul raising some objections, but you have to look at the Constitution. You have to look at what authorities exist. You have to look at what the situation on the ground is, and you have to figure out, okay, who is to blame here? And if we have an entire political party seemingly uninterested in dealing with the criminals, criticizing the criminals, stopping the crime, and blaming law enforcement, I think we have a very big problem. And we have a huge disconnect in terms of priorities. And it makes me crazy. It really does. Watching some of these videos from the streets at night in Portland and then people saying, yeah, the real problem here is the federal law enforcement officials. And only if they would go away, let's leave it to the state and local officials to deal with it. Well, they've been trying and failing for 2 months. They haven't been trying that hard. These local Democrats are terrified. These are their base, these Antifa people. They're not going to stand up to them in a meaningful, consistent way, which is why it's come to this point. And if you look at a mob trying to burn down a federal courthouse and your immediate problem is the federal officials defending the courthouse from arson and the leaders who sent them in, then we're not going to see eye to eye. And I wonder how much of this the American people are willing to tolerate. Maybe some people in Portland are. I don't think the country writ large is in that same place. And that's why President Trump is expected to speak any moment now on combating crime, not just this type of crime, but other violent crime in other places in major American cities, which are very much in a bad place right now, with criminals, I think, emboldened by these attacks on the police. Reform the police, yes. What's happening now? No, thank you. We'll take a break. It's the Guy Benson Show.
You're listening to a new generation of talk. Generation of talk. Guy Benson.
Paid for by loose debts. Did you know that the average American household owes over $16,000 in credit card debt? These credit card companies try to lure you in with low starting rates or tons of airline points just to jack up the interest rates after a few months. Before you know it, you're in over your head and struggling to make the minimum payments. It's important to know you're not alone, and Loose Debts has helped thousands of good people just like you avoid the expensive and lengthy bankruptcy process. With our debt reset program, your debt can be reduced by more than half, and all future interest will be eliminated, making you debt-free in as little as 24 months. This is not a loan, and unlike other companies, we do not charge upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. Best of all, we provide a 100% money-back guarantee. What are you waiting for? Speak to our agents today at 800-340-3365. That's 800-340-3365. Quit losing sleep over your debt payments. Call us for help. 800-340-3365. Again, 800-340-3365.
In small business, competition can be brutal. Over 90% of your potential customers read online reviews before buying. If your company's online reputation doesn't reflect how your customers feel about your business, then your competitor is getting the sale. If you're going to win the battle, you have to manage your company's online reputation. Reviews911.net wants to offer you a free trial of our online reviews management platform that you can have up and running in about 5 minutes. You'll learn how to replace bad reviews with good ones and how current reviews can make you show up at the top of local search results. Improve your customers' brand experience and get more reviews on the sites that matter most, like Google, Yelp, Facebook, and all the rest, so that new customers will find you first. Win the Small Business Slugfest when you text WIN to 411-411. Reviews911.net. Text the word WIN to 411-411 to get your free trial today. Text WIN to 411-411. Text WIN to 411-411.
Did you hear the news? Now you can. With instant updates from Fox News for Amazon Alexa. Breaking stories and top headlines. Daily coronavirus developments. The economy and so much more. Brought to you by Fox News. America's number one cable news network. Plus, setup couldn't be easier because everything's ready to go in the app. Just say,
Alexa, play news from Fox.
In Fox News.
It's the latest when you need it. On demand from Fox News and Amazon Alexa.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti, who star in the new R-rated Hulu comedy Palm Springs. The two play wedding guests caught in a time loop. The film broke sales records at Sundance Film Festival. It's also produced by Samberg's trio, The Lonely Island, which alone could tell audiences a bit about it.
Seems like something that wouldn't be directly down the middle. Something a little left of center, as it were.
Milioti spoke about whether the Groundhog Day-like film may resonate even more so now.
Yes and no. I think that, like, it's probably more, like, viscerally relatable right now. But I think one of the themes in this movie is, like, the inability to escape oneself. I think that many people experience that. That's, like, every day.
And as for their time at home, Samberg spoke about how he's been appreciating quality family time.
My daughter's 3, and it's such an incredible time, and she's changing so fast. And being able to see, literally, like, from one day to the next, the leaps that she's taken.
Palm Springs is available on Hulu July 10th. Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Saturday, MLB on Fox is back with an incredible triple header.
And here we go.
The Cubs clash with the Brewers at 12:30.
That one is gone.
The Dodgers and the Giants battle at 4. And Aaron Judge and the Yankees take on the Nationals at 7.
Unbelievable.
Every game is crucial in a thrilling 60-game sprint to the finish.
Wow.
Celebrate the return of baseball with a special triple header Saturday on Fox.
Back on the Guy Benson Show, you wonder, to my previous monologue, to the last segment, when people are going to start marshaling a backlash to this stuff when it comes to the police and crime. And also, I would add, cancel culture. New poll out today from Morning Consult. By a 2-to-1 margin, Americans see it as a bad phenomenon in U.S. society. I, of course, agree. 62% of Americans in another poll say that they have political views that they are afraid to say out loud. This is not a healthy place for our country. There needs to be a backlash. President Trump is beginning his remarks at the White House. We'll keep an eye on those. We'll bring you some of them next, along with Senator Barrasso, on The Guy Benson Show.
Do you know you might be overpaying for your Medicare supplement plan? Do you get lost in an alphabet maze of plans like A, B, C, D, and G, F? Would you like help getting out of the maze and finding the very best plan for you? We are experienced Medigap agents at Health IQ, and we are on a mission to give people like you fair and square Medigap rates. Health IQ is the only insurance agency that rewards seniors proactively working on their health, like eating right and exercising. You don't have to be an athlete to save money. We reward healthy lifestyles of all kinds. Do you take your vitamins and supplements? supplements? Do you stay active and in the know about things that impact your health? If so, you could save money with Health IQ. Let us help you take care of your Medicare supplement needs. To see if you qualify for exclusive savings on Medicare supplement insurance, go to healthiq.com/Medigap. To start saving, go to healthiq.com/Medigap. That's healthiq.com/Medigap.
Health IQ is an agency offering plans from different insurance carriers. No government or Medicare affiliation. Coverage and special rates not available in all counties or cases.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
October 30th, 1974. It was the Rumble in the Jungle. World heavyweight champion George Foreman and former world champion Muhammad Ali entered the ring in Zaire in one of the first Don King promoted boxing matches. Muhammad Ali regained the world title from a younger and stronger Foreman and spoke to the press after the fight.
I had one hell of a rumble. I had to beat Tarzan behind first for claiming to be the king of the jungle. For this fight, I've wrestled with alligators. I've tussled with the whale. I done handcuffed lightning and put thunder in jail. You know I'm bad. I have murdered a rock. I injured a stone and I hospitalized a brick. I'm so bad I make medicine sick. I'm so fast, man, I can run through a hurricane and don't get wet.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.